From the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
All right, so that moment we brought to you yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today, we'd like to bring in those students who yelled that out to Kamala Harris. They're two pro-life students at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, both juniors. Luke Pulaski and Grant Beth join us now. Luke, Grant, thanks for being with us this morning. Luke, I'll start with you. Just take us into that moment. What happened yesterday? We see the video clip. Is there any more you can tell us about what you guys had to say and what happened afterwards from that video?
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. I would say the first thing I want to bring up, this is our first time taking an interview with anybody, and I think it's important because this is our raw, like, untold story. There's a lot that happened off camera that we said at the protest while we were protesting. And I guess we could start off with after she talked about overturning Roe v. Wade and Donald Trump, I yelled out to the crowd that abortion is the sacrament of Satan. And when I said that, I deeply do believe that as a Christian. And about 10 seconds go by, and that's when the video of my friend Grant and I proclaiming that Christ is Lord and Jesus is King, when we said that. And I think it's important to say this is a small venue, and we were about 20 to 30 yards away from Kamala at this point. There's a lot of controversy that says she wasn't talking to us, or we left, we didn't get kicked out. Well, I can speak on Grant and I's behalf. On video, Grant's getting pushed and shoved. And there's about 5 seconds after or before she tells us to go to the smaller rally down the street. You can see on the video, she waves. She was actually waving to me. I took this cross off my neck that I wear. And as we were getting asked to leave, I held it up in the air and waved at her and pointed to her, and she looked directly in the eye, kind of gave me an evil smirk. And I just want to clear that up and confirm that she 100% was talking to us. Mm-hmm. And there's other controversy that says we left. We were getting shouted at, pushed, assaulted, screamed at. So we were walking away, but there was about three attendees there, volunteers that kicked us out with badges or whatever they had. And I specifically remember this one man saying, "You were uninvited and unwelcome to this event. You need to leave." And all they did was walk.
So that is the two young men. You may have heard about this over the weekend. They were at a Kamala Harris event. It was a very small venue. Not a lot of people there. I mean, she's so into crown size. I wonder what other sizes she's all into. I know that was very untoward of me, but she's always talking about crowd sizes. It's just sort of weird to me. Very, very weird to me. So these two young men, one hollered out, "Jesus is Lord, Christ is King." And she says very quickly, very snappily, "I think you're at the wrong rally." Let's contrast this with what happened with J.D. Vance over the weekend.
Anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right, Jesus is King. And I don't think that we've seen...
So I guess you don't have to guess where he stands. Now, the irony of all this is, and the reason I'm playing this is very simple. She was down in Georgia talking to the black churches down there in her southern black preacher voice, talking about how important it is and vote with your souls and all these kinds of things that people like her say that have no meaning to her whatsoever. Yeah, I think she's a fake phony fraud. I've been saying it for a long time. And, that was another example of it. She was, if you're a person of faith, a person who actually truly believes in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. And that is always prevalent in your mind. You don't have to be outspoken like I am, but that is always prevalent in your mind. That if an opportunity is presented and you deny that Christ is King and Jesus is Lord, he will deny you before the Father. Those are his words, and I believe them. She didn't seem to be the least bit worried about it because she, you know, she's a politician. She'll do and has done anything. You know this to be true, to get what she wants. And she's just demonstrating it here. So one day she's having people tossed out and saying you're in the wrong rally because they dared to proclaim that Jesus is King. And the next day she's down at some black church in Atlanta, you know, doing her black preacher voice, which, again, she was largely raised in Montreal, Canada. Again, for those of you that don't understand English, and there are some of you in this audience who do not, that does not mean she's ineligible. She was born here. She has resided here the last 14 years, and clearly she is beyond the age of 35 as she just celebrated her 60th birthday. So no one's saying she's not eligible to run, but let's be honest here. Montreal is a hell of a long ways from Atlanta. I don't know. I mean, this happens to me every election. I just get so weary of the fake, phony, fraud people who run for office on both sides of the aisle. And we talk about them. But, I mean, this is a really important election. Is it the most important election of my lifetime? How the hell do I know? My life isn't over yet. I guess when I'm dead and Dee Dee is still alive, she can look back and look at every election of my lifetime and determine that at that moment. But it's a really important one, I can tell you that. And I do believe in my heart of hearts, based on my intellect, my research, my study, and just my common sense, that if we continue on the path that we are currently on and we elect her, that path will get much worse and the nation won't recover in my lifetime. The nation will recover. Let me be very clear. Our nation will recover. There will be a generation of people coming along in the future who have decided that standing up for the country is more important than just about anything. Because if we don't stand up for the country, we don't have this beacon of hope around the world. We don't have a nation where openly proclaiming, unless you're at a Kamala Harris rally, openly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is King and he is our Lord, Savior, and the author of our salvation, we won't have a country where you can say that freely. You can't say it freely at a Kamala Harris rally now. We all know that. The proof is there because they got bumped and bruised and bounced out. It's just so funny. I mean, where is the fake, phony, fraud national media calling out this juxtaposition? On one hand, somebody proclaims Jesus is Lord, Christ is King, while she's talking about the sin of abortion. And then in the next moment, she's down at the black churches in Atlanta talking about people's souls. Yeah, well, and again, this is a country that affords me the ability to say what I've just said. And I know it has offended some of you, and, well, frankly, I don't care. Because I just told you the truth. Whether you want to hear the truth or not, it's really up to you. But we're just at a point here where this has gotten beyond the pale of reason here. And I want to talk about this point because this is really very, very important. You know that Harris and Waltz and Kerry and Clinton and Biden and even Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson has talked about how the First Amendment is threatening our nation. Ketanji Brown Jackson, a Supreme Court justice, even said that the First Amendment was getting away with the government being able to control the narrative. Section 230 in our law, and it doesn't matter what anybody else tells you, I've studied and studied and studied this, and I've sought a lot of legal counsel to make sure that I was right in my own conclusion. Section 230 of our law allows platforms like X and Instagram and Facebook and others to be able to act as a free flow forum where, unlike a newspaper, which is a publisher picks and chooses what they run in their paper, with the exception of threats to others. And each one of these platforms, by the way, have their own rules of which you have to agree to. I'm a member of all three. I don't really use Instagram, and I use Facebook a lot less. But Twitter, I'm starting to fall in love with again, and I've been using it a lot. You can follow me on Twitter if you so desire. Ray Richardson Jr., that's J-R. Ray Richardson Jr., because I am a junior, because my daddy's a senior and my son is a third. Section 230 offers not quite absolute immunity, but very qualified immunity, these platforms, to be able to allow to have basically a public square, a town square, where, as you know, you can go out in the town square. Let's say it's Monument Square in Portland. And you can have one group marching for gay rights, and you can have another group out there chanting for Satan, and you can have a third group out there quoting the Bible. That's what the public square in America looks like. And I've seen it often at Monument Square in Portland. These formats are public squares where those kinds of activities can happen. And that's what Section 230 of the law is all about. To give them qualified immunity so that they're not held liable for what their participants say. They're not a publisher like, say, the Portland Press Herald. The Press Herald picks and chooses what they put out. The Press Herald picks and chooses what editorials they run or letters they run. Today in the Press Herald, they ran a very dishonest editorial. They don't care, of course, and they certainly don't care what I think. We do pay for a subscription. I don't pay for it personally. My station does. It affords me the ability to be able to read this rag, and it is a rag. As you know, attorney Cyril Parshall Perry from Heritage Foundation, which is the author, the originator of Project 2025, has made it very clear many times Donald Trump is not involved in the creation, not involved in the wording. And he has disavowed it. He's not endorsed it. He's disavowed Project 2025. It's caused so much consternation that some other people have resigned over it. But for some reason, Amy Strum, I don't know her. She may be a very lovely person. Amy Strum has decided to write a very dishonest op-ed in the paper. And the publisher decided that it was appropriate for her to do. Amy Strum, according to the paper, about the author, she's an RN, a BSN. I don't know what that is. BSN seems to me maybe what the author, the content of the editorial is an emergency department nurse at Maine Medical Center in Portland. And so she writes a very political op-ed about Project 2025. Everything she says, she ascribes to Donald Trump, who has repeatedly and completely disavowed Project 2025. And the Press Herald thought it was appropriate to run this because, you know, they hate Donald Trump. Let me say it again to the people at the Press Herald. You hate and have demonstrated your personal hatred of Donald Trump. So once again, you find somebody who wants to write an op-ed who also hates Donald Trump and allows her to spew a bunch of lies about him. Let me say this very clearly one more time. Donald Trump had nothing to do with the creation or the initiation of Project 2025. Donald Trump has not read Project 2025. Donald Trump is not using Project 2025 as a blueprint for his second administration. Project 2025 is an amalgamation of 122 conservative groups around the country coming together to create a document that in their mind would lead our nation forward if someone adopted it. If that person was Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, they would be thrilled, whomever it is. But it's an amalgamation of these groups. Trump was not part of that. Yes, have some people who worked for Trump, who are now working for conservative think tanks, were they involved in this? Yes, they were. But this is not Trump's creation. Trump made it very clear. His platform was the platform of the Republican Party that was hammered out in Milwaukee. And when I say hammered out, it was because it removed the pro-life plank. Since the days of Ronald Reagan, we've had a pro-life plank in the Republican platform, and that was removed. And I wasn't happy about it, and I said so. I said so to his people. But they decided that that was the path to choose, and they chose it. Nobody actually reads the platform, so I suppose in many ways it doesn't actually matter, but it mattered to me. That is Donald Trump's platform to run on. This woman who wrote this editorial, again, I don't know her. She may be a perfectly lovely person, but she has allowed herself to be used by the political party she supports to tell lies to the people of the readership of the Press Herald. There is no place within Project 2025. I've read the document, plus Sarah is here, the attorney for the Heritage Foundation, who was involved in all of this, going over the legal language of it. There is no place in Project 2025, any place at all, where it says in that 900-page document that there will be a nationwide abortion ban. But see, the problem is this woman, Amy Strunk, I believe was her name, she decided to be a useful tool of the Democratic progressives and try to scare people. And she abused, let me say that again, she abused her position as a nurse to do so. Because there are provable lies within her piece. So the Press Herald used her because she's a nurse, an emergency room nurse. Again, that's in her bio from the Press Herald editorial. And then she abused her position as a nurse to make a political statement, which is tattered with lies about things she wants you to be afraid of, even though they're not real. These same people, and they're all the same, they operate from one brain. I don't know how they've done it, but somehow or another, the progressive element in this country has been able to operate from one brain. It explains a lot, but I just don't know how they've done it. These same people are out running scare tactics against my friend Kenny Chinquette. Kenny, as you know, is running for the state Senate. Kenny has been clear in this studio and in other places that he supports a woman's right to choose under the law. He's been very clear about it. He's never run for political office before, so there's no place it can go back and say, well, when he was running before, he was for it. He was for a ban. He was never for any of that. We've had long talks about it. If you listen to the show, you know that I'm ardently pro-life with no exceptions. Kenny believes, under the law, women ought to have a right to choose in this country. They are running ads against him right now. They're just absolute lies. It's not deceit. It's lies. Of course, that is what liars do. Saying that Kenny wants to ban abortion. I will say, and I said this to Dee Dee last night, I cannot believe that the women of this country are so obsessed with the ability to kill their child. But there is an obsession among certain women in this country about killing the child, and that's all they can think about. It's all they talk about. And then there are a bunch of tampon-wearing men who are right there with them. I watched a couple, there's a commercial running right now for Harris, and there's two old dudes in there. I'm 63, I'm old, I'll be 63 in January. They got to be close to 100, and they were outraged that someone would want to ban abortion. By the way, Donald Trump's been very clear. He isn't going to ban abortion, doesn't want to ban abortion. It's all a lie. Donald Trump agrees with me, or I agree with him. I guess he's the more important one in this equation. It needed to go back to the states. In some states, like Maine, we lose because we have radical women full of hatred for children passing laws. I mean, come on. Come on. They want to abort them till birth. If they happen to survive, but their origins are rough and they're under state care or oversight, they die. They have just as good a chance to live as they do to die under this government. And none of these people will speak out about it. None of these rabid, ardent abortionists. They just don't appear to care about children. And then if they somehow survive and get into the school system, if they have special challenges and special needs, this school system, which is pouring millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of your hard-earned tax dollars to end up 50th and dead last in educational performance, have been so terrible in which they treat children with special needs and challenges, the federal government is actually suing Maine over their performance and behavior with children with special needs and challenges. Now, maybe you think that record says they care about kids, But I can tell you, as a father who in my four children's lives, 48 years of school, I missed three events in 48 years of schooling. Three events. I cared about my kids. I showed up for them. I may be a certified jackass, but I'll tell you this. My children know their father loves them unconditionally, supports them unconditionally, and would lay down his life for them without even thinking about it. You can't say that about these people. They abort them till birth. They let them die and get abused to death and murdered. And then they treat them like they're nothing if they happen to have a few challenges. So bad. The federal government, run by the damn Democrats, are suing the damn Democratic administration in Maine over the poor treatment of children with challenges. Don't take my word for any of this. Do your own homework and figure out what I'm telling you is the truth.
By fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy.